This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're listening to the Nerdcast on ProjectNerd.com.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
I knew it. I knew you were bluffing. I knew he was bluffing.
You're listening to the Nerdcast.
I feel like I should say something smart.
With Adam, Bob, Iggy, and Tyler.
You mustn't be afraid to dream a little bigger, darling.
Only on Project Nerd.
That is one big pile of shit.
So I totally bought it, interviewed the guy, and I bought the pin and put it on my hat.
You didn't buy the print?
No, it's a print and pin combo because it's either 10 bucks for each or he's like 15 for both. I'm like, hell yeah.
Well, that's 15 for both, right?
Right. And I don't like spending $10 on pins because not because I don't think they're worth it. Like, I think whatever, you know, pins are totally in right now.
Enamel pins are serious business.
They are. And they're awesome. But
in right now, they've been in like the Disney pin collectors have been a thing for a hot minute.
I used to have a dope ass collection of enamel pins from Hard Rock.
Anyways, that doesn't mean they're not in right now. So my statement was still not false. But my point being is I used to be in.
They're still in, but they used to be in. I used to do drugs. I still do drugs, but I used to do them too.
Anyways, it is the Nerdcast episode 190, and we're talking a bunch of comic conventions this week, mainly because Bob is going to sound a lot like Matt this week, mainly because it is Matt from O Comic Con joining Adam, Tyler, and myself. How are you gentlemen doing today?
Hello.
Good, dude. I did so much laundry today, you guys.
That's awesome.
I've got all of the clean clothes.
Well done, I guess. Congrats. Hey,
I did laundry too. Laundry twins. Air high five.
Well, that's the saddest thing I've ever
heard. That was the most grown-up thing ever said on a Nerdcast right there.
Like, the only thing that could have been better than that is if you, like, guys, like, gave each other, like, finger guns while, like, mowing each other's lawns next door to each other. Like, on riding lawnmowers, like, giving each other the finger guns.
That would be fantastic.
With bucket hats on.
Now we've got plans for the future. I like it.
Right? We're doing it across the pond, even. So, this is our first episode back since we've been out and about going to all kinds of shows, and unfortunately, Bob had to work tonight, but fortunately for us, we get Matt, and we get him on the day that the announcement happened that shook Omaha, right?
I mean, to its core.
To its core. It did, though. You were messaging us like, holy shit, people are freaking out. Sam Jones being announced.
Jones.
I love it.
Defender of, you know, he's here to save.
He'll save every one of us.
That song is now restuck in all of our heads, guys. We had just gotten it out, and it's going to be stuck back in our heads.
You have the next 2 hours of Flash Gordon Queen songs.
Right. Let's call the episode here and just play that the rest of the way.
Right.
Your pre-sales will shoot through the roof with that action. We'll flash June 28th, 29th, and 30th on the screen with that song playing. Not even that song. We'll put the picture of the picture you shared in the group. His Playgirl. Cold spread.
I love it. I love it.
Dude, that one's, I'm serious. That one's almost as good as the Burt Reynolds.
And real good.
It's real good.
It's definitely up there. So, Sam Jones, big announcement for O Comic Con, June 28th through 30th, our next big show. And we've got some big things planned. Matt, I think I'm super excited. Omaha got super excited for Sam Jones. I think I saw more GIF comments in that response, in that announcement than in any other one.
What did you see, Iggy?
I said GIF. I said it. And that's the reason I said it, because both of y'all could go to hell.
Well, you're wrong and we're right. So
all of those giraffical.
Where's the button that lets me mute Iggy? And then we.
So Sam Jones. Who else we got, Matt? We got Lita.
Yep, we've got Lita from the 4-time Wrestling Hall of Fame. It's really exciting. There's also Meredith. Meredith is my favorite. She's from The Office. Her name is Kate Flannery in real life. But she's Meredith from The Office. I'm really excited to see her.
I would like her to sign a flask. That's what I would want. A flask.
Right?
There you go.
Just sign Jello shots, just like.
Right? Hand them out to all the other guests.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love it. The one thing that I keep talking to people about with her is that, like, she's a real person and she played a character called Meredith. And, like, she was a very fun, drunk, office drunk, and it was wonderful. But she's like got a career. Like she's a singer and an actress, and she like tours with music. It's really cool.
What happened is for all the more what you would call supporting characters in The Office had it ruined for them by Creed Bratton, who plays Creed Bratton on The Office, who might actually be Creed Bratton from The Office in real life as Creed Bratton.
So everybody just assumes all those extra people are exactly them in real life, right?
Because I think Creed Bratton might actually still be him in real life. So
he does all of the murders.
He might. We don't know. We'll find out soon, I'm sure. Right. So that's three. That's three huge ones right there.
Right. I love.
But
them.
The list goes on.
It does. So I mean, from media perspective, we've got Steve Bloom, who's one of my favorite voice actors of all time. I love voice actors, but Steve Bloom, he's like got the world record for being a voice actor in the most amount of things.
Does he really?
Yeah, Guinness Book of World Records. Like he's in everything. He's in everything, every video game, everything you can pick him out of. It's amazing. Most notably like Spike Spiegel in Cowboy right. Bebop.
I was gonna ask you, what's your favorite thing that he's in?
Oh god, it's too many. it's not fair. I would have to say Spike in Cowboy Bebop, but like there's a game I've got over 3,000 hours in Company of Heroes. It's a real-time strategy game.
Sure.
And he is the announcer in that game. Like so you just hear him talking, like sticky bombs are now available. Like he just, it's all of the time. And I love it. Yeah.
He'll always be Wolverine.
He'll always be Wolverine. He's
right. He was Wolverine in like the first X-Men animated series and a lot of the animated series is after.
Absolutely. And that's the biggest thing that I feel that he's for here is, I mean, at our show is he is Wolverine.
I don't know. The anime's pretty big in the Omaha area.
He's also Starscream. He's Sub-Zero. He's Sub-Zero from Mortal Kombat. That's
God.
Cool.
Yeah, so for people who didn't realize, the list is already starting.
What's the big alien dude from Rebels? Star Wars Rebels. Zeb. He's Zeb.
Oh yeah. Yes, he is Zeb.
He's a lot of things.
He is in everything.
He's in a lot of things.
I would say the world record probably establishes that, but
I think my favorite is Zoltan Kool. He's Zoltan Kool from Diablo 3, yes. Which is a really fun, cool role because Zoltan Kool has some awesome lines.
He's also in The Legend of Korra. He's the first season villain.
This guy literally is in everything.
Like, he is.
Let me just look at my movie shelf and start naming every animated movie, and I'm probably going to pick something that he's in, right?
Absolutely. Did you ever watch Gurren Lagann?
Yes.
He is a character in that. I can't remember what it was. I can't. Leron. It's not important. None of this is important.
Leroy Jenkins?
No, but good reference.
I think the one, and this one's most people already know because it sounded so much like Spike, but did you ever watch Toonami?
Yes.
He was the interstitial robot that like would introduce the shows, Tom. Like
absolutely.
No Toonami for you guys? What did you guys do?
I know what Toonami is.
Dude, you're just standing there blankly at the screen. Like
you and Matt were having a conversation.
I thought it was
have a conversation.
I thought that was A to B right there. Like you guys were in the moment, connecting. It just seemed right.
I was talking to Adam, but it's like you can't tell we're making eye contact.
I was looking at
you guys on the screen.
I was replying. I was just muted, maybe or not.
No, you were staring blankly. No,
whatever. Anyways, all right. So Steve Bloom. We also, which every year, great voice talent at OCon, and we always get some great bumps from there too for this podcast specifically. So we'll have to get some from him. Absolutely. All right, we got more though.
Last two media guests, we've got Mary Elizabeth McGlynn, who you mentioned Diablo earlier. She is the female crusader. Joanna is her name. That's a cool thing. She's also the voice of the Major in Ghost in the Shell, which is my that's my like, oh my god, yes, her. That's a pretty big deal.
I'm with you.
Nice.
Right?
That's our next bump right there.
Like it's real good.
She's the major. Yeah, that's the big one, I think.
Didn't I say that? Oh,
that's what he said.
Did he say that?
Yeah, Tyler just Tyler leaves sometimes. Like
I was zoned out.
He's sitting there, but he's left. So,
but yeah, and then the last person is one of my favorite picks, and I don't want to talk my show up too much, but I think something that we do that is better than anyone else is we bring people from the Muppets. And this year we have Steve Whitmire, who's been the voice of Kermit and like 20 other characters since Jim Henson died. Holy cow, I couldn't remember. Yeah, so since he died, like he picked up a lot of that slack for his voices. And yeah, so he'll be there.
More like nightmares. Muppets are great. I love the Muppets. Yes. Who doesn't love the Muppets? Whatever happened to like, they did like a half a season of their Office style show when they came.
Oh, it was real bad. Ago.
It was kind of.
What was the middle reboot though, that they did that was on like ABC that was
like, oh, that's what I was talking about.
Cause there's been two reboots. There was the one he did the voice for. There was the one in the late 90s or early 2000s where it was like a revamped Muppet show with a new host, but like, you just want to remember what I'm talking about?
Like I have no idea.
And then there was the newer one that they did that was like the...
Yeah, the one like four or five years ago. Yeah, it was pretty bad. But the new movies were great. And Disney almost didn't give Jason Segel the movie opportunity because they're like, this guy straight showed his penis in a recent movie. We cannot let
for him a long the time Muppets. Too.
Yeah, he was trying. He was trying for years. Also, to a long time stands for both how long he showed it in the movie, but for also how long he was trying to get the Muppets going again until Disney finally caved. And I am so glad they did.
So, do you think it was about the penis, or do you think it was that he did a Muppet show in that movie? And they're like, "Nah, this guy, this guy is doing too much."
They might, yeah, people might correlate.
It was called Muppets Tonight, and Clifford was the name of the host. It was in 96.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Was he the big red dog?
No, he had like a mustache. He had like a Fu Manchu thing. He was like pink and purple.
Okay.
Okay, so Ocon, where can we get tickets?
This guy.
OconExpo.com is the easiest place to get tickets from. To my knowledge, it's the only place to get tickets.
There you go.
But yeah,
if you find them somewhere else, let us know so we can shut them down.
Please, yes, absolutely. I feel like we have a really affordable show, and you can buy tickets either single day passes or all 3 days.
You do, and we don't just say this. We love you, Matt. We do. He is one of our favorites. But we know many other convention organizers, and that's actually the reason Matt got to know us really well, because of who we knew and we're able to like help and talk about the behind the scenes stuff. So my point here, the long story short, is I'm not just saying this because we love Matt, but OCon is always one of our favorite shows. We love being a part of it. We love all the people that are there. We get to hang out with, so many of the other shows that used to do podcast areas don't do them anymore. We still get that at OCon. You still have a whole section for podcasters, and they're encouraged to come out and do the interviews, and we get internet access and everything provided by the show. So other podcasters listening to us, you can check that out and come hang out with us. But there's so much cool going on.
Iggy, your long story short was incredibly long still.
You know what, Tyler?
And you buried the lead real hard. Like, it took a really long time to get to the meat of that one.
So we're back to old ways where I say something they don't like.
You say something that literally no one likes.
I loved it. You said an amazing thing.
So
if you hadn't started it with long story short, right, everything just, would have been
I can okay. edit that part out and then be like, what are you guys even talking about? I didn't say that. No, So that was the best part. So our Planet Comic Con episode that I called live, that Adam got mad at me for calling live because we didn't air it live, is it was very, people are loving it right now. But the one problem I had with it, there were times I felt like I was setting something up and then I had to remember Tyler wasn't right there to just knock it down. So Adam got to a few of them, but it was a little slow on a few of them. I said something about getting a date or sleeping with somebody with the tentacle kitty. And it took you a second, Adam, but you finally did come around and go, well, I'm not letting you in the bed or something like that. I don't know. It took a little bit, but.
Well, it was hard to hear there. It was loud. We had the 5-Hour Energy people with all of the music. And I don't hear well in loud spaces, so some of those probably just went right by me, and I just probably laughed thinking Iggy said something silly.
All right. Well, I'll give that to you then. I'll give that to you. But it's still a good episode. That was episode 189. Planet Comic-Con, I got to see all your beautiful faces in face, and it was a good time. I had a good time with you guys. Kansas City is always fun because of, I mean, that was home for so long. So it's everybody we know. And we saw old Project Nerd alum, like Kanan and CeCe, you know, stuff like that. It was great to see everybody.
Yeah, Kanan, CeCe, Josie was there.
Oh, yeah. Josie stopped by. He's helped us out at a few shows. You know, obviously we didn't get a whole lot of time with them, but for, you know, from Sabrina and Noah to Esmeralda Von Katz showing, she got to hang out with like some voice talent actually too. So she was digging that. But
my favorite thing about Josie is the last show he went to with us, I think it was C2E2. And like Friday he took off, like I'll be right back. And he comes back with this gorgeous ceramic ocarina and a very, very nice master sword. And I saw him Saturday at Planet. Like, oh, dude, what are you doing? He goes, well, I'm looking for a master sword. it's like, last time I saw you at a con, you were getting a master
sword. Did he tell you he gave his master sword as a wedding gift? Ever, right. He was the best man. And so he awarded the groom with the master sword. He gave
the groom a master sword. Which, like,
is that not the nerdiest best amazing. Man thing yeah, ever? No. Yeah, great, it's fantastic. Yeah. And he found another one, though. He brought it back by the booth. So
oh, there were some good ones out there.
He did get it still. So he does have a master sword again.
Nice.
But, yeah, it was a great time. This past weekend, we had people, including Gallo, Danielle, Mumbles, Nick, one of our new writers. A lot of people up at Chicago for Star Wars Celebration, which we'll get into here later in the episode, will be our main topic. Here in Denver, I popped in the Dink for a little bit. Charlie LaGreca's new show. He's the guy who started Denver Comic Con, and we love doing Denver Comic Con when him and now his wife Amy, they're now married, the person who used to run the media stuff. Yeah, so at some point in the past year her emails changed from her other last name to his last name, so congratulations.
Nice.
But got to check out that show. I love it. I call it the hipster Denver Comic Con, but I mean it like with warmness from my heart, because those are the people I love. Like, the hipster comic creators in Denver are the good comic creators in Denver. I love those people. But they do. They wear the cool hats. They hang out downtown at the coffee shops. They do the stereotype hipster stuff. But they're, like, super nice and super wonderful.
So those guys would have been really happy when Laura and I took them to our sweet vegan breakfast place that you guys hated. Or you hated the walk to, anyway.
We don't hate. In Colorado. Oh, that one. Yeah, I forgot one in about Colorado, that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we walked for forever.
It really wasn't that far.
We walked from like 16th Street to like at least 19th Street, man. It was like forever.
You guys were very salty.
16 to 19.
No, I'm joking. I'm joking. It was further than that.
A little farther than that.
I didn't get it.
It was further than that. It was, but yeah, it's fun. So some good shows coming up, which are leading up to, as we said, OCON, June 28th through 30th. I think we have another one small one that we'll have some press coverage out of. But other than that, the big thing we're already working on, which Matt's already annoyed with me because I'm asking him questions every day, is let's get this setup going. So we'll be there. We'll let Tyler have a microphone. That's the show he gets the microphone at. So we'll be doing cool things.
I.e. the best show of the year.
That's what I said.
I'm just saying.
So moving on from convention talk, there's a lot of other things happening. There's a lot of things mainly because we haven't met in this type of environment in like weeks. So gosh, so many movies that have dropped and so much news out of Star Wars Celebration. One of them was actually not just directly related to Star Wars, but Disney finally dropped the details on Disney Plus. You can see the full article with all that information over at projectnerd.com. Guys, $7.99 a month, no commercials. What, I can't even remember off the top of my head.
$6.99
a month. Oh, sorry, $6.99 a month. Yeah, that's I'm sorry.
Or $69.99 for a year.
Yeah, $70 for the whole year. And you get, this will be the only place that houses all 30 seasons of The Simpsons, which has not been, so it's not like it's being pulled from another service. Like, you aren't able to find The Simpsons, all 30 seasons online. So this is going to be the first time, if you don't own them, to be able to watch a lot of those in a long time. And of course, I can't even remember the amount of movies and shows they said that'll be there at the beginning. and then everything will be dropping there. That'll be the first place you'll find Captain Marvel streaming, because it's not even going to hit Netflix or anything.
How do we feel about that? Or is this not the time?
No, we could talk. That's why we're talking about it. And it's inevitable is what I'm going to say is how I feel about it. So the fact that they gave me a good price point, the fact that they talked about bundling it with Hulu, now that they own 60% of Hulu, I'm feeling okay. I'm feeling okay, because I was worried I was going to be spending another $12 to $15 a month here. I can drop $70 at the beginning of the year. I get paid biweekly, and November is one of my months where I get three paychecks. So when that drops, I got $70 waiting right there.
I think it's a great price point. Disney is obviously coming and swinging to the streaming market. I guess Netflix just upped their prices again. Hulu's right there recently. They didn't, not since Disney's got them, but before then, I think they had just bumped them up. So,
Hulu did drop the commercial price. So, but okay. The ones without commercials, yeah, still is up there.
Right. And then you've got Amazon Prime just is what it is. I don't think it's gone anywhere recently. But I mean, it's a great price point, and you're getting a ton of stuff. So Mandalorian from day one, which we did hear about at Star Wars Celebration. That's fantastic. You get anything that's over a year old for Marvel on there. Like, it's solid. That's an easy choice for me streaming wise.
Yeah, and then we also get the Little Mermaid.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you have all the Disney movies, right?
And also like the abolishment of the vault, like the vault as a concept dies now, mm-hmm. they said. So everything will be available.
Are we going to get DuckTales?
God, I hope so.
Yeah. So no, DuckTales was a specific title mentioned when they talked about the collection. DuckTales.
Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers.
They mentioned.
I need things.
Tailspin.
It was mentioned within those. So gummy, those groups of things together were mentioned.
Iggy, do you know every single title? Because we're gonna keep throwing them out there.
I'm excited. I own a bunch of those on DVD because you don't have those anywhere anymore.
Although I will say the new DuckTales is real good as well.
Yeah, but the classic one it will, because somebody directly like asked Disney, like in a this wasn't a forum or it wasn't a panel like a lot of the other Star Wars stuff. This was a legit news conference, and somebody still was like, so DuckTales and Tailspin, like everybody knows what's up. Everybody knows what's up, but it's over So it's over 6,000 episodes of Disney Channel series, more than 100 original Disney Channel movies, the full Pixar movie library and shorts available at launch. Family movies obviously inherited from the 20th Century Fox merger, as we mentioned, all 30 seasons of The Simpsons. And then, of course, new National Geographic content, which is awesome. But along with the new Star Wars content, the new Marvel content, which they confirmed and announced even more of those Marvel series. And like you said, they went into detail on The Mandalorian. So Matt, I think what you were getting at is like, are we starting to get annoyed? Because now it's getting back to basically, we're going to be back at cable prices, having to pay for all these different subscription services. Right?
Until 5 minutes ago, I was donning my pirate hat.
Exactly.
Like, well, I mean, I can get you to put it back on. Because
Disney softened that blow, though. They softened that blow.
We need to talk about it a little bit, because they're not the only one coming out this fall with another streaming service. So like Apple will be on the market by then as well. So we'll have Apple.
What's Apple gonna? Sorry,
Apple TV Plus.
Dude, they've got
this fall, and they've got a lot of big name creators making.
At least they came up with an original name, though. So I mean, you know,
did they say is it Plus? Is that what it was?
I'm pretty sure. I don't know if they. So we don't know pricing on that, but they did bring a lot of fucking famous people out on stage to announce their projects, including Oprah. So, just saying. Spielberg was there. I mean, there was a lot of people. I mean, if you didn't watch the event, like
Apple's got Apple money.
They pulled out all the stops. So we'll have by the end of this year, we'll have Apple streaming, Netflix streaming, Hulu streaming, Amazon streaming, as well as Disney streaming. Not to count the streaming apps for all of the networks that have streaming apps specifically, right. Like HBO, DC, and then like things like Crunchyroll. Then you'll also have, so like CBS Unlimited.
Important about CBS is they've already jumped on the train of where certain stuff is only on the streaming app.
100%.
As opposed to on their 100%. Network. Yeah.
Obviously, HBO's had their streaming. And then if you guys didn't follow the news today, AT&T announced today they are selling their stake in Hulu. So they were the other big stakeholder in
Hulu. Yeah, get off that Disney ship because you no longer have any say. Well, what's happening. Right.
Disney's 100% said they're going to keep, like, they're going to stay in Hulu in addition to their own. But AT&T specifically said they're pulling out of Hulu, selling their stake in it to, quote unquote, explore their own streaming service. So AT&T, which as
AT&T knows, Time Warner.
Yes, they own the they own Warner Entertainment, which includes Warner Brothers as well as Warner Entertainment. And so that's a good AT&T. I don't know what their stock in Hulu is or whatever like that, but
so at an average
was going to come out with a streaming service. I assume NBC Universal can't be that far behind them.
They've already announced that they're working on something. Yeah. So we're talking at an average of $10 per. We're already back, what $120, $130 a month here? A month. Good night.
You know what we could do? We could start a company, and we can get people to subscribe to us, and we can go out and negotiate with these other companies to pay them a reduced fee because we're going to have so many people subscribing to us.
Sounds like it's been done before. I don't know why.
Yeah. Well, but I mean,
the thing is all these kids that were born in the 2000s, when they graduate high school and move out on their own, they're going to think that's a great idea. Oh, I can pay one person and get all of these services in one place?
Well, and I think that's the big question. How long before, like, we start to see consolidation again? Like, because everything's this market is super saturated. It's about to be super saturated and super fragmented. Like, how long before it's consolidating? Because that was the big, we already started the new consolidation because after everyone said we're cutting the cords, then all of a sudden we saw the rise of things like DirecTV Now and Sling TV and stuff like that, where people were like, yeah, I'll pay $20 to get, you know, ESPN and my three networks and a few other channels. But also, how long before we finally start to see some of these other channels, these niche channels, you know, die? Like ESPN, for instance, has been in tough shape for a long time because the 10% of the people who pay for cable ESPN gets paid for by the 90% of people who don't watch it, for the 10% of people who don't watch it.
No, so that, like, I think ESPN's 2 years away from being an add-on to Disney Plus.
Yeah.
They're already owned by the same people, $10 a month.
Well, they said the ESPN Plus.
All the Disney stuff. I mean, just roll it together.
But they already, too, just like we were mentioning with the CBS one, ESPN's already to push that subscription for the Plus. Yeah. They already show specific games and programming only on the streaming app, not on their networks, right?
Yeah. Well, obviously the contracts and the time periods of the contracts are super convoluted, but at some point I have to believe like the big major sports things will go the way of MLB and be like, yeah, we'll show some of our stuff on local TV, but you need to pay us and you can just stream all the games.
God, MLB TV is totally worth it, by the way.
Well, and MLB, people don't realize like MLB Advanced Media, like they did things for streaming technology that changed the game. There was this brick warehouse in New York where Advanced Media was, where originally it was stuff like Pitch Tracker, but by the heyday of MLB TV, like they had figured out streaming video better than anyone. Like Netflix went to them for like, how do we make sure this happened? HBO went to them to be like, how do we make sure that HBO Now doesn't crash when like the next Game of Thrones came out years ago? Like MLB, they changed the game when it came to Advanced Media, changed the game, which is something strange. Like the oldest, most fuddy-duddy sport of all sports, even though I love it, was like the progenitor of so much streaming stuff. It's crazy.
Okay, so I don't need to know if you pay for it or not, but just how many streaming services do you guys have access to at this point? Like already? Like, I think I'm at 5.
I think I'm at 4.
Well, I don't
access to 5.
Access to 7.
I don't have any. I don't have access to any that I don't pay for. I'm the guy that other people
have access to.
I mean, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime,
HBO.
I pay for HBO through Amazon, but yeah, I mean, I pay for HBO. I did pay for CBS All Access for like a minute and stopped. I might go back. I don't know. Like, I'm tempted to start buying it when NFL season comes out. The problem is it's so easy to stream NFL games illegally, but
what was that word?
Nothing. Don't worry about it.
Just as long as you don't say Super Bowl, we'll be okay.
Yeah, almost every Kansas City Chiefs game is on CBS. So if I paid for all access, I would get that. And yeah, one of these days, I should probably watch Discovery at some point or something like that. Is that all of the ones I pay for? I paid for Rooster Teeth streaming for a little while, which doesn't really count. I definitely do pay for MLB Network, though. So.
Yeah, MLB TV would be my fifth, and I just quit, which is, again, on the fence one, kind of like Rooster Teeth. I just quit paying for YouTube Premium. But that was less for to get original programming, even though I had access to it by paying for it, and it was more just so I quit watching 90-second commercials before I watched a 90-second trailer. So
yeah, I do know a lot of people who 30 use
30-second teaser.
Yeah, and I do know a lot of people who use YouTube TV, which is I didn't even think to add into the Sling TV, the DirecTV now. Although they just I think raised the price again or are about to raise the price again for YouTube TV, because YouTube TV is also another great cord cutting solution that you get a lot of live television for. We're not that much money up until now.
How many are you streaming, Matt?
I have Amazon Prime for shipping reasons, and so I guess I have that.
It's got some good programming on that.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, like, I saw A Man in the High Castle, and then that was the last time that I paid attention. So I like
Tick season 2 just dropped.
There's some good shows. The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is fantastic. What's the Philip K. Dick one? Not Man in the High Castle, but the anthology series.
I can't think of it right now.
Electric Dreams or something Dreams.
Androids Dream of Electric Sheep.
I think that's more of
Jack Ryan wasn't bad.
Yeah, I heard good things about it. But it's there. The good thing about the Amazon one is exactly like I pay Amazon for the shipping reason, right? Like I do majority of my shipping. Yeah, I get it. I'm a local brick and mortar killer, whatever. Sue me. It's convenient. We've all gone the way of convenience. We've picked convenience. We've lost privacy. We've lost local business. That's what's happened. We've done it as an industry. But anyways,
brick and mortars aren't local businesses. Best Buy is not a local business.
Home Depot is not a local business. Those are still around. I'm talking about local specific ones. But anyways, so
why do you hate America?
See, shut up. So, but the point is that's what I use for my music streaming app now. So instead of paying extra to get a premium version of one of the other ones, I'm like, I already have Amazon. I might as well just use Amazon Music. Or, you know, let me see what's on the video streaming and stuff. Yeah. So it's like a lot. And then you get like unlimited photo storage online too. And a bunch of other shit. So
I forgot. I also pay $10 a month for, Apple Music. Which isn't video, but there is some video on Apple Music, but I pay $10 a month for that too. So
what is where's your guys' breaking point as these keep coming out? Where's the breaking point? Like, I feel like Disney did the right price and they're gonna have the content that made us all just get excited. There was, after the way all of us acted when we started talking about what's gonna be on there, there was no way we're not paying for that, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, after I just listed them all off and thought about it, I may have actually already been past the breaking point.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
They bill it disparate parts of the month and month that I never really noticed it until just now.
Right. The breaking point is tonight and yes, something probably Hulu.
Not even to mention we have to pay our internet provider so we can watch all of these streaming services, right?
Oh.
And then we got Adam. I mean, I didn't even think about it. Adam's going to actually have to pay for cable again, or he's going to have to pay for his license, even if he doesn't want it.
But it's super cheap.
I know.
It's like $14 a month.
Yeah.
But you get like everything.
You get PVC3.
You get Sky, you get Channel 4, you get all stuff. You have to pay for your license even if you don't want it.
No. And super good internet. The average internet speed where I'm looking at moving is over 300 megabits per second. And again, like 20 pounds a month.
Whatever, Tyler, shut up.
What's a pounds?
Tyler's all like whatever because he lives in Google country. But
damn right, bitches.
Google fiber.
But is that even – they're not even expanding that anymore, are they?
Yeah, I mean, they're actually pulling out of towns.
That's what I thought.
They just skip town on Louisville and cut them a check to like clean up the mess they made. And they expanded really big, then they contracted, then they tried to expand again. But like we could talk about that for an entire episode. But
let's.
There's a lot of municipalities – kind of tried to dick them. Like, obviously the established infrastructure doesn't want them to expand. Then they tried some, like, we're going to do these like micro ditches where we only dig this deep and then lay rubber over the top of it. That didn't work out so well. So then it started popping out. It's been a rough road for they Google, I think, assumed that it would be a little bit easier to build an entire internet infrastructure in major cities, and then turned out it's way harder than they thought. And people are dumb and will do bad things to go against their own interests. So.
Well, if all the installers would have just been wearing Google Lens, they would have obviously been much easier to do, right?
Well, if there weren't entrenched, interests in all these cities to try and keep them out and not let them use the
right
the phone lines and stuff. So,
all right.
Anyway, so, we can talk about that for a while. But
so as always,
I have it. I don't really give a shit.
So he's like, screw you, screw you. So as always, we want to hear your feedback. Our big topic today, of course, the streaming services. Is it too many? Where's your breaking point? What you feel about Disney Plus and the many others to come? In the comments below, wherever you find us, whether it's on projectnerd.com or podbean.com/projectnerd, over on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, and the many other places you can find the Project Nerd podcasts.
Oh, God, we're part of the problem.
Perfect timing there. So
this is presented free without commercial interruption.
Right, exactly. You didn't have to.
But we are 100% still looking for sponsors. So if you would like to put your commercial, please let us know.
So with that, big movies out. So we haven't met since Shazam came out. We haven't met. Obviously, Hellboy dropped this weekend, which I refunded my ticket. I couldn't go. I wasn't feeling good. From the sounds of it, I made the right decision. And then, of course, Pet Sematary as well dropped. And three big movies since, yeah. And today I just got my notification that the tickets, the pre-order tickets for John Wick Chapter 3 are now available. So you can jump on over to your local movie theater app or Fandango and pick up your John Wick tickets for opening.
When's that come out?
End of May, right?
This is one of the times you're actually muted, Tyler, which is a weird thing.
Listen, it comes out 3 weeks after. I want to say 3 weeks after Endgame.
It's that might be right because it's a weekend. Right, so I have the kids.
I'll still be in town. Okay, good.
Yeah, you're so. All right, so Shazam. Who else saw Shazam?
Wasn't Arya Stark excellent as Kid Shazam? They got the same eyebrows, same face. Billy Batson as Arya Stark.
I was like, Arya didn't play Mary Marvel. Wait a second, what is going on? Or Mary Shazam? Excuse
me. May 17th is John Wick. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah. After. So Shazam, Adam, you saw it. I saw it. Matt, yeah, sounds like you saw it.
Sounds like Matt saw it. Tyler, yeah, did you see Shazam?
I did not see it.
Buddy.
It was good. It was fun.
You're fine to spoil it. I don't mind.
There's not much to spoil. It's the typical
good guys win, bad guys lose.
Right. Exactly.
It was good bad guy though.
It's Mark Strong. Mark Strong. Of course, you had a good bad guy there.
Did it do anything to engender warmer feelings towards the greater Warner Brothers, Marvel, DC?
I think so. It's definitely on the positive side of the spectrum.
So you're saying yes? Adam's shaking his head. No, fuck.
Well, I mean, it's better than Justice League and Batman versus Superman, but you know that's
damning with faint praise.
It's not really saying a whole lot. I think it was better. I like it better than Aquaman.
Did you just say it's better than Transformers 2? That's what I heard.
It's better. I enjoyed it better than Aquaman. They told a good story. They did a good job. It was funny. It was exactly what.
Are
it,
you? I guess having
it exactly
now,
what it should have been.
Having now seen it, are you more likely and or more excited to see the next DC movie?
Also going to be shit.
My answer is yes.
Anyway, did it in any way affect your vision, like how you think about the DC universe and or its movies?
My answer is yes, but it's a bit more complex because
I was happy after Wonder Woman and then they dropped Justice League on us and like, oh, they didn't learn their lesson at all. So
right, well, Justice League, I mean, it was also still had the fingerprints of Zack Snyder on it, you know. So we're getting where I was gonna say I am excited because one, each movie excluding Justice League, when you go Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and this one, you're getting further and further of that. It has to be 300 because every movie that Zack Snyder made had to be 300. So we're getting further and further away from that, and each movie is starting to forge its own identity. Shazam was fun. I would not say it was a great movie. It definitely dragged at points. It had moments where I was just like bored and felt like this wasn't good writing, but it was fun. And it was the type of superhero that's meant to be fun. Like, that is what Captain Marvel has become since DC acquired it. And it's, or Shazam now, excuse me. I don't know. Super Bowl, I mean, right?
There's been some dark.
There has definitely. And there is definitely some complexity to the whole Shazam Marvel family. I'm just calling it the Marvel family because that's what they are. It's Mary Marvel. It's not Mary Shazam. So anyways, there is, and you're going to get your Black Adam movie with Iris and Black Adam and everything. So it can be, but it was, each movie is starting to forge its own identity, I guess is the way to put it, instead of just feeling like it is Zack Snyder making 300 over and over and over again, if that makes sense. So that's what I enjoyed about it when I think of the future of the DC, you know, movie universe.
Yes.
The original question was, does it give you better feelings for the next movie? And the answer is no.
Right. And I agree with Matt on that because I have no faith in the leadership at DC Warner Brothers to continue doing the thing, to learning the lessons that they should be learning from these movies.
Yeah. Until DC finally figures out what they're doing and hires their own Kevin Feige, it's a fucking crapshoot.
Well, does Jeff Johns have that role now?
I mean,
to an extent,
maybe, sort of, kind of.
Like, nobody's really defined it. They're just like, he's going to have more say, but they're not like, Marvel's very clear on this. This is his world. Like, this is Kevin's world.
You got to get it past.
You got to go through him.
If you want it on the screen.
And Kevin's been like longtime Marvel executive, longtime comic book geek, like into it all. And then and not saying obviously here in DC world, it's not a comic book geek or somebody involved with DC, but it's the question of how much control are they really giving him? That's the thing. Like, I've also quit holding on to that. We're going to see anything comparable to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. As a person who on the comic side has always favored DC over Marvel, DC was my jam. I loved it. I've conceded to that. When I go to a movie, I'm going to enjoy the Marvel movie more than I'm going to enjoy the DC movie right now. That's just the way it's going to be, because Marvel has their shit together, and Marvel set the standard. Like, it set a standard. And I think I'm in the comments to you guys, Tyler and Adam, in the podcast group, I mentioned after I saw it when I was kind of giving my little blurb on Shazam, was until DC quits trying to be Marvel and just does their own thing, it's never going to be great.
They can be Marvel, though, if they did it the way Marvel did it. The problem is they're trying to skip all the extra steps. Like, Marvel made how many fucking movies?
Well, they're trying to be Marvel now. That's the problem. They're trying to be Marvel now.
They decided to clean the slate, start over, hire someone hire their own Kevin Feige, put him in role and say, like, all right, start from square one. You have as much time as you need. Make a couple movies a year. We don't expect a new Justice League movie until year 7 or 8. They would do fine. They're unwilling to do that. They decided, they're like, no, we need our Avengers movie next year, so you better crank out 3 fucking movies between now and then to set that up, and then let's go to the races. And now there's like DC, Warner Brothers is making DC movies that aren't part of the DC extended universe. So like, the Joker's not part of the DCEU. Like, but then there's going to be a Batman movie.
There's six movies
Joker in production that involve the Joker character right now.
The movie that comes out this year called The Joker, starring Joaquin Phoenix, is a DC movie, and it is a Warner Brothers movie. It is not a DC extended universe movie. So it does not happen in the same world in which Gal Gadot is Wonder Woman, and or Ben Affleck used to be Batman, but isn't Batman anymore.
For your normal pop culture fan, your average moviegoer who's not obsessed with comics, good luck. Good luck.
I can't hold my eyes hard enough. Like,
it's Earth 2 now. We're on Earth 2 and 3 and 4 at this point. So, yeah, it's a fucking shit.
I mean, that's fitting for DC.
But I love it because he's the only character doing that. Everybody else is locked in on Earth 1 still. Joker's like, no, we're going to tell all the versions of him that we have.
The other thing that DC
got going right now,
part of it is DC, like every movie that's been in production has either been pushed back or they've gone through 4 directors and 5 scripts and 10 actors. But they had Aquaman last year. They had, until they get the train on the tracks like Marvel does, they had Aquaman last year. They had Shazam this year. They don't have another movie until Birds of Prey next year, and Wonder Woman 1984 next year. And then they don't, I mean, like, they, I don't know. They kind
of
figured it
correction, out. It's Birds of Prey or The Emancipation of Harley Quinn, right? That's the full title, I think.
Is it really?
Yes, that's the full title of the movie.
Oh, for fuck's sake. <It's> not-
And their teaser for it was fucking Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn dancing around for 15 seconds. Like, that was the teaser they released.
So, I don't know. Are you guys familiar with Rob Paulsen's podcast, Talking Tunes?
Yes.
Okay. It's fantastic. Did one recently, and I've decided, like, that's what we should do. It's he basically had all the main voice actors from Justice League on, and it was awesome. And they were really talking about, like, trying to bring back animated Justice League.
Tyler,
that's the only fucking
we'll arrange that. You get all the Justice League actors on the podcast. We'll totally do that episode. You get that arranged?
No, no. I mean, he had them all on, and they talked about it.
Said we should do it. Is what you said?
No. I'm saying, like, he was saying that they got together with trying. DC, just go back to making animated shit, because that's
really, because their animated stuff's really good, and their animated features, even, that they pull heavily influence from the comic. Like, they are really good replicas in most cases, and are good fun stories that, like you said, somebody who's not reading the comics has the chance to Crisis on Two Earths.
Here's the thing, like, here's my big hope, because DC only knows how to do one thing, and that is try to catch. I say that jokingly, like, tongue-in-cheek a little bit, but over the last 10 years, DC only knows how to chase Marvel when it comes to things outside the comic books. My big hope is we might get some really well-funded, big-screen DC cartoons only because of how good Into the Spider-Verse did. Like, I hope Into the Spider-Verse causes DC to be like, well, fuck, we've been doing this for years. Why aren't we putting these in theaters? God damn it, we could be winning Oscars over here. Because I feel like if you put enough money behind some of DC's productions, like, there's no reason they couldn't have already been Into the Spider-Verse 10 years ago.
Well, I mean,
like Mask of the Phantasm and
some of Flashpoint Paradox.
Flashpoint Paradox. I mean, we can skip over some of them. Doomsday was pretty terrible. And there's some other really bad ones.
But. Okay. So we're almost at an hour point, and Tyler will rant and lecture on DC for hours. So we do have to move on because we did have a whole bunch of things you guys added to the list at the bottom that we haven't even gotten to, as well as, of course, Star Wars Celebration, which we didn't go into detail. It's Star Wars. We all fucking love Star Wars. You can check out a lot of the Celebration coverage on projectnerd.com as we don't have time. But one thing we do have to talk about, guys, Rise of Skywalker. Woo! Woo! I got giddy and excited last Friday. It was a good teaser. It was the right tone.
Should be jumping over fucking TIE fighters, man.
and that just at the end, Luke's like, nobody's really gone forever. And then you get that.
I believe that's a TIE silencer.
Did you watch the clip of the laugher coming out on stage, though?
I watched the whole panel, and the whole panel is on projectnerd.com. We did put the whole panel up there. We streamed it live at the time. I watched work as busy as work has been. They lost a whole hour of me on last Friday because I was totally in that panel.
To be fair, though, am I the only person? I feel like that can't be the only person. Was I the only person who watched the trailer the first time before reading anything else and being like, why the fuck is Luke Skywalker doing the Joker laugh? Like, what's Mark Hamill doing here? And then being like, oh, no, that was actually Ian McDiarmid. Yeah, there was a lot of cool stuff at Celebration. Can we talk about the tweet for a second, though? Have you guys seen the tweet? Have you guys followed the tweet? You guys know about the tweet?
I don't.
No.
Please.
Oh, my God.
Tell me more.
It's so significant that three out of four of us have no clue what you're talking about.
I don't have Twitter. That helps.
Oh, my God. Okay. Obviously, the Palpatine bring back thing has been planned for a while. Like, there was an interview with Kathleen Kennedy, who said basically like we've been known we were going to bring back Palpatine for a minute.
Read the books, you kids. Read the books.
I mean, are they going to start naming people with extra vowels? Because I'm out on that. Like, if it gets all clony, I'm not having it. Like, if we have Luke Skywalker with 12 L's, 12 U's, I'm out. But specifically, there was a tweet that got unearthed today. That basically,
are you going to pull it up or are you going to keep dragging this fucking out?
Well, I want to make sure I get
we're running out of time.
I want to get the person's name out. There is a person on Twitter who goes by @GabbyG41, Gabriel Garcia, and they tweeted something on November 21st of
2000. I'm gonna punch the computer screen here.
I swear to God, you're making jokes, but you need to. I need this. This requires setup because it's a big goddamn deal. So put your head. We're talking 7 years ago, November 21st, 2012, and this is the tweet.
Huh.
That is real.
Impressive.
So for those of you who aren't obviously streaming now that they've all had their aha moment, this person tweeted basically, they got one thing wrong in the episode number. They tweeted back in November 21st, 2012, Star Wars Episode 7, The Rise of Skywalker, The Emperor Lives. So they nailed the title and a big plot point 7 years ago before, you know, like The Force Awakens had come out. So
what you don't know is that's the real name or the pseudonym of an actual writer for Lucasfilms, right, who now is employed by Disney. And
that was like, George.
Oh,
that
my
was
God, look, it was totally right.
That was George Lucas's sock account when he sold to Disney. He's like, I'm going to spoil it for everybody.
Yeah, I'm curious, like, what the real story is behind it. I mean, to be fair, like, if you threw enough guesses out, like, I think guessing the title of it probably isn't super hard. You know, Return of the Jedi, Revenge of the Sith, Rise of Skywalker, like, I can see that making sense. Guessing that Palpatine's coming back, if you've read any Legends books, not a big stretch, but it's impressive. It's eerie.
Yeah, I wonder, there's like 300 other tweets with episode 12, the death of Luke or something. Like, there's just all those tweets. But all right, so other really big, obviously, Clone Wars Season 7, you can check out the trailer over at Project Nerd. Fallen Order information on the new game, also over at Project Nerd. What came out at the end here, at the very end, and we didn't get it up, just kind of leaked. I don't think it was meant to be announced this past weekend. Knights of the Old Republic movie is in development. I'm doing the little Shaq one. Ooh, shimmy right here. Ooh.
How long of a wait, though? Because Bob Iger did come out at the beginning of Celebration saying, like, after this one, we're taking a little Star Wars break when it comes to movies.
Yeah, I mean, it's just now, as far as I know, it's just leaked information. And it is confirmed. So it was confirmed. Yeah, so speaking with MTV News' Josh Hurwitz at Star Wars Celebration, Lucasfilm head honcho Kathleen Kennedy, who you previously mentioned, cut straight to the point and mentioned that they are developing the project for a movie of Knights of the Old Republic. So that is developing a project very early, obviously, and there's no information. There's no like, oh, this person's tied to it, this director is going to, or this writer even. It was just, yeah, we're going to do it. And so it could definitely be after a break. It could be 10 years from now. Either way, I'm still excited.
You think we get a Darth Malgus?
Well, I mean, you should. That's what the game like kind of centered around, right? Like,
I mean, you feel like he's got to be in there because
when
you're dealing with all of the like that time period and like there's a lot. Well, I mean, this is before the rule of two, so you got an ass load of Sith.
Matt, did you say you don't want to talk about this or you do want to talk about this?
I do for like a long time.
Like a long time.
Do we have another hour?
No, we got like 5 minutes, but yeah, we're gonna have to. I mean, it's super early, so there's gonna be time for us all to come back and really talk about it. And we even have time, like over the next month, we could dedicate most of an episode to just our ideas and theories around it. Because now, Matt, so you know that each of the Nerdcast episode, we kind of have like our one big topic, like the streaming thing today. I'm fine with revisiting it in the next couple of weeks. We can come back and talk about any new announcements for Ocon, and then talk about Knights of the Republic.
Yeah, we just need to revisit Star Wars as the big topic forever.
Forever,
for the foreseeable future, at least.
The Nerdcast is now the Star Wars podcast on Project Nerd.
I mean, we could 100% just start another podcast.
I mean, Star Wars. But at least half of us have Star Wars tattoos. Adam's wearing a Star Wars shirt right now. Like, I have at least 12 different Star Wars things up on my shelves. Yeah, like we're not going to be shy about it. That's for sure. But we do have to wrap up here, and real quick. Game of Thrones is back.
Oh my God.
It's
God.
The most accurate, but at the same time, a little bit, it's not wrong, but I'm not mad about it. Tweet I saw was the season premiere of Game of Thrones was the definition of this could have been an email, but I ain't mad about it.
Right. So that's what Matt and I were talking about. Matt and I were talking about it yesterday or this morning even, about it was bullshit. Like, we have 6 episodes left, and I enjoyed the episode, but at the same time, nothing fucking happened.
They had to ease you back in, baby. They had to ease you back in. You got to remember what's going on.
It's the shortest of the season.
54 minutes.
Right. They just they got to
be longer.
They had to put everyone in the same room and let you ease you back in.
We got to lay a lot of groundwork. I need a lot of Bran staring awkwardly at people.
Right.
Can someone build a ramp in that fucking courtyard so he can
All I know is
the brand memes that have come from this of him just popping up or being behind people are fucking fantastic.
So
briefly, I think that it's really important to just notate that, like, they had a goal for this episode, and that was to make it be symmetrical with the first episode.
Yes.
Like from a shot by shot basis, they had a plan. They had a reason for what they did. I think it was stupid. they could have given us more, but I do understand what they were doing.
I mean, the first part of it, like this procession into Winterfell, worked really well. Like, absolutely. As a dichotomy, as a callback to the season one, episode one. But yeah, there was some really good stuff. But the memes of Bran and Jaime will never get old. My personal favorite is someone just overlaid the music from Kill Bill when, like, Oranishi and, like, the bride see each other for a second, and, like, you get that, like, really, that bounding music that, it's really funny.
I did send, I think right before we started recording, Matt, I sent you that meme of the one, it was like, with P. Diddy just staring, like, yep. But, yeah, so, obviously, sorry for the vague spoilers, they're not really spoilers, and it's Friday at this point, but it's, we didn't really give you anything that happened in the episode, other than,
everyone's in
not a lot happened. Not everybody, but yes, there's, everybody knew it was going that way. Okay, real quick, quick news at the bottom we had here was why The Last Man fired their showrunner already.
So it got a little bit weird all of a sudden. There was a tweet from the showrunner saying, like, everyone thought the show was canceled, and then Fox came out and clarified that no, they had left on creative differences. So apparently why The Last Man is still on board, is still going, but it's being revamped in a big way. So who knows where it's at, but it was kind of nebulous news there at first. So,
all right, we'll just give it to me. They just need to give it to us. All right. Travis Knight, Mark Wahlberg, $6 billion man. Is that a movie or show? What are we talking here?
Mark Wahlberg has been trying to make a $6 million man, which would now the $6 billion man, because inflation, whatever, it's a dumb joke. For a long time, it was being made, then it wasn't being made. Now it's being made by Travis Knight, who most recently made Bumblebee. So it's
Bumblebee. Are we going to find out that the $6 billion man is actually a Transformer?
Right? Maybe.
Surprise! Right. Michael Bay's involved. Transformers.
But anyway, right. Yeah, Mark Wahlberg gets to be the $6 billion man.
All right, so this is the Nerdcast on the Project Nerd Podcast Network. Before we head into final thoughts, just a heads up, May, you get a whole new Project Nerd Podcast Network. That's right. We will have up to 12 podcasts coming to you every month, some monthly, some weekly, some couple times a month. Good new detailed schedule coming to you throughout May. The Nerdcast will be switching days as well, so just stay tuned. You can still find almost all of it. There's some more mature content that won't be on this RSS feed, but majority of it you can find right here, including the new podcasts like Diving Deep versus the G-Spot, G is for Geek, and of course, some others soon to be announced. But before we do head into, again, final comments, I do want to give a shout out. We got a great, great feedback just today. Maxime Gorlan said, "Dude, I love your podcast." Well, they're actually different series, but yeah, wow. It was diverse, but still on topic. Great to listen to, and your interviews are great. That one's for you, Bob. Wow, just awesome. Just left a review. Keep up the good work. Thank you, sir, for that feedback. As always, if you want to give us feedback, you can head over to iTunes, Google Play, wherever. Give us a rating, or as we mentioned earlier, drop a comment anywhere you listen to the Project Nerd Podcast. All right, guys. You got about a minute each. What's some final thoughts? Tyler, why don't you kick us off with your final thought of the day?
Well, I was not prepared for that, even the least.
Adam, why don't you kick us off with your final thought of the day?
Pick me. Yes. So, lots of things. If you bought the fancy versions of Assassin's Creed Odyssey way back when, everyone who listens remembers that I was obsessed with that game. Very, very good. You also got the HD remasters of Assassin's Creed 3 and Assassin's Creed Liberation, which came out since we've last recorded. So sign back into your PlayStation, go to the PlayStation store, look at Assassin's Creed 3. It'll just say download. You don't have to buy it or anything like that. Download it, play it. Really fun to be back into a game, an Assassin's Creed game that has Templars and Assassins. You know, things that define the series for almost a decade. So a lot of fun there. Also, you got the Emperor laugh at the end of the Star Wars trailer. Pick up the Aftermath trilogy, which is takes place before episode 7, and read through those. That's all I'm going to say.
All right, Matt, you got a final thought for us?
I mean, not to get too crazy about it, but like, we always really enjoy having Project Nerd at the show. Come see us, come see them June 28th, 29th, and 30th of this year.
Thank you, sir. I love you too. We're so excited. We always love coming out there, and we got some great space, and we're going to be doing some cool things that we've never done before at any show. So be ready for it. Tyler, have you prepared for your
line dancing?
I couldn't come up with anything good, but I will say, just even though that we kind of spoil things without any warning, like dickheads, there has been some really terrible leaks of pretty big deal in-game footage on the internet. So be careful where you go, because that shit's out there. Just, it might be time for just internet blackout at this point.
Matt, don't watch it. Don't watch it, Matt. You've been tempted all day. Don't do it. Stay
away. The strongest of wills.
Awesome. I guess my final thought, I'll just throw it in for Project Nerd too. If you're liking what we're doing and you want to be a part of it, you can head over to projectnerd.com/projectjobs. You put those hyphens in between the Project Nerd and put the hyphen in between the project and jobs, or just go there and then find the link at the bottom of the homepage. I know, confusing, right? Projectnerd.com. Check out what we're looking for. We're looking for help for writers, social media help. Come out, be a part of the team. Cover some of this cool stuff, talk some of the cool things, join us, be a pro nerd, be a pro nerd. All right, that was episode 190 of the Nerdcast with special guest Matt from OCOMICON. Again, June 28th through 30th, you can head on over to OCONExpo.com to pick up those tickets. Weekend passes, really affordable. And it's, is it kids 12 and under? Is that right? Get in for free?
Oh, I'm muted.
Yeah, 12 and under. Okay, perfect. With that, then, same nerd time, same nerd channel next week. Until then.
Hey, Pro Nerds, thanks for listening to the podcast. If you like the Nerdcast and other amazing Project Nerd podcasts, please go give us a subscription, a like, a review, wherever you find us, as we need your love and support to continue making awesome content. Next week, we'll be back with another great episode of Nerdcast, as well as other original Project Nerd podcasts.